Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Larry Mathias joins us. He's the executive director of the Nevada State Medical Association. A lot to say about Obamacare, plus on the Power Pundit panel today.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Your business deserves the absolute best in workers' compensation? You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
What does the massive Tahoe Reno Industrial Center offer to Northern Nevada? Well, there's an incredible amount of oversized infrastructure in place, along with hundreds of sites to accommodate relocating or expanding businesses. The park includes IT ecosystems, call centers, data centers, e-commerce distribution, and there's defense system manufacturing, clean energy, there's renewables and recycling, and we're just getting started. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
This segment is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. So much depends on trucks. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome back to the program Larry Mathias. The last time we'll be introducing him is the executive director of the Nevada State Medical Association. He's retiring after all these years. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Pleasure to be here.
All right, so let's start out with Obamacare and what's going on in D.C. right now. I was back there myself about a week and a half ago. It's insane.
Yes, it is insane. The partisan fight is a natural one. The Democrats chose to pass seminal legislation with not a single Republican vote in either house. That's a guarantee that it'll be part of the partisan scene for years to come. If we step away from that, there are plenty of policy reasons that the basic action in the Obamacare package makes sense, and why a whole lot of it not only doesn't make sense, but it's going to have to be retooled if we're ever going to be able to implement it. How you get over the hurdle of half the politicians on one side throwing bricks at the other half the politicians on the other side, I don't know. They certainly have split into skins and shirts in Washington these days.
To say the least. But it's interesting because this is not a case where it's a law that needs to be passed. It's law. It's gone through the Supreme Court. It's now to the point where, just as with Social Security and Medicare, changes will need to be applied as we go down the road. But it's actually the law.
It is the law, but laws are repealed. And as long as...
But wouldn't that take a new president and Republican...
It would take a new president.
Two-thirds majorities in both houses. I mean, it's not going to happen.
It took 100 years to put the right pieces together for the Democrats to get a law like this passed. But I've often noted in the rather uninformed panel discussion that you see on national television, especially national cable television, about these things. How often they call it a bill, how often they are very ignorant of the essentials of it, and these are the people telling other people how they should think. I think that has been part of the problem from the beginning of this, it's been operating at two levels, at a political, partisan political level, and at a political and policy level. And the political and policy level is boring to a lot of people, although in a few months it's going to affect an awful lot of people, and they're going to want better answers than that it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, or that it's the worst thing since the death of the apocalyptic poets. The reality is this whole law is not going to be as good as the Democrats have promised, and it's certainly not going to be as tragic as the Republicans have feared. It's a major step at trying to overhaul the healthcare system so that Medicare doesn't collapse, so that we're able to provide coverage for health benefits for people, while at the same time allowing for markets to exist, allowing for doctors and nurses and hospitals to be able to be there for people. If we do nothing, our system was collapsing in on itself. That was hard for those involved in the system to admit, but it's true. The baby boom moving into Medicare creates the largest insured population in the history of the world under a government program. And to make that government program sustainable, how it can continue to provide to most people with chronic illness, to most people who have disabling condition, those are covered by the Medicare program, by the Medicaid program in the state. Those people have real needs, and the ability of the federal government to provide for those needs is under extreme stress right now. That's without Obamacare. The hope is that the various aspects of changing the system that are enshrined in the Affordable Care Act, in the High Tech Act, in the stimulus law, and a number of other pieces of legislation and federal rules, that all of that will save the structure by making some essential changes in the way we pay for services, the way we organize services, the way we deliver services, and especially the way we deliver the coverage for services.
Well, and one of the things that people don't seem to understand is that this is not the government. The government is running it, but it's private companies, private insurance companies, who are deciding whether they want to get into the game or not. They're setting their rates. People have the opportunity to go in and compare rates. I, for example, my insurance agent, who had me with a regular health plan, looked at the exchanges and said, I think I can save you a couple $100 a month on your premium. And mm-hmm. So I'm a happy camper going into this thing, at least initially, but it's not that I'm negotiating with the government. I'm dealing with a private company, and the company I'm currently with is doing its best to try and keep me, but they just raised my rates by almost 10%.
I think what is confusing about the Obamacare approach is that it's partially market-driven, and it's partially government-operated, and it's partially government-regulated. And those pieces aren't always going to fit into place. The healthcare system hasn't been a free market in this country since World War II. And those who think it has been are simply incorrect. They're calling it by a name that never fit. There are private delivery systems. There's private sector. Most doctors don't work for the government. To the degree that means it's a marketplace, it is. With the purchase of these insurance policies, my warning is the warning that you always get in the marketplace. Buyer beware. Make sure you understand exactly what you are getting, and more importantly in healthcare, what you're not getting.
All right, let's take a break. More with Larry Mathias when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
Very little happens without trucks. In Nevada, professional truck drivers move 94% of all of our freight. Today, we'd like to recognize our master truck drivers, those individuals who have driven more than 1 million miles or 10 years accident-free. These professional truck drivers are among the best of all drivers, dedicated to safety on our roads and highways. We'd like to thank them and all of America's professional truck drivers, because trucking moves America forward.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
This segment is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. So much depends on trucks. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Larry Mathias. He's the executive director of the Nevada State Medical Association. You know, you've said on this program before that Obamacare is a tiny part of the crisis that's coming for the medical profession in this country. How do you see this? Is it apocalyptic to you?
No, but it's going to be dictating significant changes, and there are going to be generational changes. It's not going to be that the world of healthcare is going to be dramatically different next January, or the January after that, or the January after that, but it's moving in a direction of change that's going to be particularly difficult on those physicians, nurses, others who perform services in the healthcare system, who are in their 50s and 60s. The assumptions they made going into their professions, into their occupations, are going to be overturned. The way we organize the delivery of care, the way we pay for the delivery of care, the way we block people from getting care. All of these systems are going into place. The electronic health record, which is a long way from being there, is going to be a way of communicating pretty much instantly about everything that's happened to you in the healthcare system. And that's going to mean a lot of differences in accountability about how you use that information. The healthcare system is undergoing fundamental transformation. It did so in the 1960s and early 70s. It did so in the 1940s and early 50s. It did so in the 1920s and early 30s. It did so in the 1890s. Prior to that, it didn't change very much.
You've been around a long time.
I have. I have. But it is that what happens is, like any system that's created by humans, the systems we create are as imperfect as the humans who create them. And we create them for a particular time and for a particular place. For the most part, our healthcare system was constructed coming out of World War II, a nation which was an industrialized nation that produced most of the wealth of the world. And healthcare coverage was one of those questions about how do you do that in a growing capitalist system. How do you, and England chose a totally different route. It wasn't in the system. It wasn't in a country that was growing, that whose economic capacity was increasing. It leaned to government to provide the essential coverage of health benefits. In this country, we relied on the employer base to provide that coverage in what was a kind of a modified market-based system.
Senator Reid recently was quoted as saying that we are eventually heading towards a single-payer system. When I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, he said maybe not in 5 years, but within 10 years could be. Glenn Cook was on the program yesterday, and he was concerned that the VA is what a single-payer system looks like. Your thoughts on that?
I don't know that we're going in that direction. I don't think that Glenn Cook is right. That's not a single-payer system. That's actually a socialized system. It's the only socialized healthcare system we've developed, and that's because the doctors and the nurses work for the government. The buildings are owned by the government. The costs are entirely that's a socialized system. A single payer system is Medicare. That for everybody of a certain age or of a disabled condition, they qualify for the federal program, Medicare. And I think when people talk about a single-payer system, most have contemplated this was Teddy Kennedy's proposal, Medicare for all, that you just everybody would get their coverage through that. It certainly socializes the coverage part of the system, but it doesn't socialize the delivery part of the system. In the VA system, both are socialized or part of government.
One of the things that I look at, and this is going to sound like a strange comparison, but you know, years ago, Dick Clark talked to me about how satellite and cable was going to make the pie bigger for broadcasters, but the slices would be much smaller. And it seems like the direction we're heading in healthcare is the same way, that there's going to be a lot more work for a lot more people, but the educational costs are going to have to come down because doctors are not going to be able to make the kind of money that they've made in the past.
When I say that the system is undergoing what's going to be major changes, I mean every aspect of the system. How we train the people, the health professionals, how we organize the delivery of services, how we set standards, how we say at what point is it that I've had enough health care, and what will you have then? Those decisions are still in the future, but they're decisions that are going to have to be made. And clearly, we're going to be decoupling medical care coverage from simply the being employed. We're doing that right now. I think the system is going to be challenged at every step along the way. And while it's being challenged, we're going to have to continue to provide care that people need right now.
Well, and it's going to be very interesting because one of the things that I think that probably 80% to 90% of employed people don't realize is how much their employer actually pays for their insurance, because it's a lot higher than the $30 a month they may be paying. Larry, thank you so much for all your contributions to our state and to this program, and please come back. Even though you'll be in retirement, we'll always enjoy having you here.
Thank you very much.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Very little happens without trucks. In Nevada, professional truck drivers move 94% of all of our freight. Today, we'd like to recognize our master truck drivers, those individuals who have driven more than 1 million miles or 10 years accident-free. These professional truck drivers are among the best of all drivers, dedicated to safety on our roads and highways. We'd like to thank them and all of America's professional truck drivers, because trucking moves America forward.
A good law firm protects you, your family, your well-being, and your health. But a great law firm protects your money. At Laub & Laub, it's all about your money.
Why choose more? Because more isn't just more channels, more choices, and more technology. More is new connections and new worlds to explore. It's discovering there's more to you than you even know. And it's why we invested $2 billion in our superior fiber-rich network to bring you more of what's now and what's next. But we bring so much more than that. We bring more you. Charter, make way for more.
Imagine a new Fiat 500 starting at just $14,995.
Hold it. No offense, but you're blocking my beautiful car.
Oh, okay. Besides front-wheel drive, you'll get up to 40 miles per gallon highway and...
Come on, Don. When she talks, people listen.
Easy, boys. Let's try this. You can even upgrade to a lifetime warranty. And we've got a selection of almost 100 to choose from. For the best of both worlds, sexy Italian design.
And gas mileage Americans will love.
Have no fear. Fiat is here.
I'm Mel Laub, and this is my son, Joe.
Since 1965, my father and I built our law firm, protecting you, your family, and your money.
Laub & Laub, we're here for you.
This segment is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. So much depends on trucks. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel as always. Joining us for the first time, pleasure to have you back on the program. You were here as a guest previously, Manita Rawat. She's an intellectual property attorney at Duane Morris LLP. Warren Hardy is a principal with the Hardy Consulting Group, and John Sandy IV is an attorney and lobbyist with Fenimore Craig Jones Vargas. Let's start out with news that broke late last week, which was that Sue Loudon has jumped into the lieutenant governor's race, going against the governor and Dean Heller endorsed Mark Hutchison. Your thoughts on this?
Well, I think the race has gotten a lot more interesting. I'm sure reporters and pundits all across the state are smiling when they heard the news. I mean, Sue's going to be a good candidate. She's going to be tough to beat. She's got name recognition. She's very an astute businesswoman and has made a career and been involved in politics. So I don't think she can be discounted. Obviously, she's making a very bold strategic move in going against the governor and Senator Heller. And you know, Hutchinson's had a lot of success fundraising already. He's been campaigning all over the state trying to up his name recognition in the rurals and in Washoe County. I don't know if he's made a strategic flaw to this point. So it's going to be a long, tough road for Sue, but it makes this primary a lot more interesting.
Senator Hardy, the thought is that Hutchinson was going to raise about $3 million for this race, which would make it a huge race in the state.
Yeah, that would be, those would be big numbers for a lieutenant governor's race, that's for sure. But I think one of the...
And for a job that has essentially become what it was in the past, which is, I'm holding up a zero.
Right, well, but the dynamic has changed, too, in terms of us not knowing what Governor Sandoval may want to do in 2016. He needs to have a Republican lieutenant governor in order to have options. I don't know what he's going to do, but I'm sure he'd like to keep his options open. I mean, I agree with John that it's an uphill battle. But she does, you know, have the potential at some level to self-fund, which I think will be important because I think, you know, most folks have already, you know, staked their candidate in Senator Hutchison and are starting to support him financially. But, you know, it's a free country. That's what primaries are for. I don't think primaries are necessarily a bad thing for anybody, although it takes resources. You can also hone your campaign and come out of a primary, whichever candidate comes out stronger.
Manita, it's interesting because in her press release she talked about being a tax cutter and, you know, in favor of economic development and tourism. The governor's taken back economic development. The lieutenant governor's office has nothing to do with tax cutting. What do you think the strategy is there?
Oh, I don't know. I think it may be a ploy for her campaign. I obviously won't be voting in the Republican primaries. I'm glad to see a woman is running nonetheless, and I think she'd be a good candidate. I'd like to see what the Democrats may come up with if they come up with another chicken story again in the campaign.
And I think Manita brings up a great point, too, is that this changes the dynamic of the entire race because now, I mean, I don't know if he's going to get close to $3 million. That seems like just a huge number to raise for lieutenant governor's race, but he's going to have to spend a lot of money to get through the primary, which makes it that much more, the dollars have to be extended a lot further for when we get to the general election and when the Democrats do finally announce a person that they're going to have.
And that's the big question, is who are they going to put up?
But they'll have to. I mean, that's the focus of the race. There seems to be a general reluctance to take on Governor Sandoval. It's very popular. So in terms of blocking a potential challenge from Governor Sandoval to Harry Reid in the next election, they've got to have a Democrat win that lieutenant governor's race. And so I don't think that we'll end up not having a strong Democrat in that race. Somebody will file in that race. So it is going to be very expensive. So whether he can raise $3 million or not, he may need it if he's going to face a primary and a general.
And you know, going back to Governor Gwynn, I mean, they said in those days that he had $3 million in the bank. And according to published reports, he really didn't have that much money in the bank. He had some promises, but that was enough at the time to scare off other opponents. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be interesting because at this point, even though the Democrats have a lot of strong candidates, they're not necessarily stepping up to the races. I mean, for example, in the governor's race, you know, we don't have an announced Democrat yet.
Yeah, not yet, but I think, you know, hopefully we'll see one shortly.
The name Tick Sagerblum has been bounced around here on this program lately. He had a great deal of fun at the legislature. Do you think that he would be a viable candidate as governor or just a fun candidate?
Well, I don't know. It's I mean, it's easy to say he'd be a fun candidate, but who knows what would happen down the road.
You know, I had him on the program during the legislative session. It was one of my favorite interviews ever. We disagreed on just about everything, but it didn't stop him saying whatever he wanted to say.
Well, and he's a good individual to deal with for us at the legislature, because you know where he comes from. He doesn't apologize for his positions on issue. He's comfortable with who he is. He's intellectually honest with who he is. And you know, I don't agree with him very often either, but I wish more folks were like him to work with, because you know where he's coming from. And he doesn't take it personally. You can get up and oppose one of his pieces of legislation, and the next day he'll accept an amendment that you want. So, you know, he gets the process, he understands it. It would be an interesting race.
Eddie, I'm sorry to take that, but you know, Eddie might be a good person to put up against Sandoval. And Sandoval is benefiting from huge favorable ratings. At this point, it doesn't seem like many Democrats want to come out and step out in front of him. I mean, Tick offers a refreshing alternative to what has been, I guess some people are painting as an established candidate. It might actually be a perfect candidate to put up against Brian.
But will he cut his hair and wear a tie?
No.
No.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
News 4 brings you action-packed high school football highlights from across northern Nevada. The hardest hits, the fastest runs, the longest bombs. Friday Night Lights, presented by Dolan Auto Group. Fridays during the 11 o'clock news, only on News 4.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Rose, and I'd like to invite you to join us on News 4 every Saturday night at 6:30 for The Plush Life. The Plush Life is a great show about inspiring people, great events, and wonderful businesses in northern Nevada. Food, wine, fashion, fitness, health, and wellness, but most importantly, inspiration. Yes, you will definitely be inspired each and every week. So please join us on Saturday nights at 6:30 on News 4 and make your life plush with The Plush Life.
At Les Schwab, along with great prices, our tires come with the kind of protection most other places just don't give you, which includes free flat repairs, equal value replacements, pre-trip safety checks, and more for the entire life of the tire. With the other guys, you just never know. So why is free protection on your tires a good thing?
Lifetime protection. That's our best tire value promise. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
The Spa and Sauna Shop is Reno's best source for quality spas and saunas. Now, in addition to our large selection of hot tubs on display, we've expanded our showroom to make room for Olhausen pool tables, lighting, game room furniture, and decor. Olhausen Billiards is the finest name in pool tables, and now you can buy the best at the Spa and Sauna Shop. Take advantage of our huge holiday sale. Pool tables starting at just $16.99. Purchase any table and receive a free dartboard set. Only at the Spa and Sauna Shop, one block south of Longley and McCarran on Louis Lane.
Sales at Consigned Furniture have been great, but we're always striving to find better ways to serve you. We just added another truck to make it faster and more convenient for pickup and delivery. Consigned Furniture, the largest consignment store in northern Nevada.